Well, good morning, and nice to be together, is it not, even on a rainy day. After all of that sunshine, we badly needed the rain, however. My garden was bone dry, and the farmers were praying for rain, while others were praying that the sun would continue. But God is wise, and he gave both, so we had the sun for a while, and the farmers now are having the rain. I want just to speak a little from these verses in John chapter 2. And I'll just read them, and you can follow, I think, on the overhead. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some and take it to the master of the banquet." And they did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wines first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till last." This is the first of the miraculous signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. Now, I have a confession. I began this week by thinking that I was going to speak on Enoch. I said that to Cynthia. I was going to use that verse in Hebrews that without faith, it's impossible to please God. A lovely little verse of scripture. And if you ask me why I changed my mind, I'm not sure I could give you a clear answer. Perhaps it might have been something to do with the fact that I had been reading a book that spoke a little bit about this first of Jesus's miracles. On the other hand, it could have been that my granddaughter Holly is going to her first wedding shortly, and she's very excited about it. But more than that, she's excited because she is going to be a bridesmaid. And so I've seen the dress, and I've listened to her as she's told me how much she is looking forward to this, her first wedding. And it reminded me of a little girl who attended a wedding for the very first time. She was full of questions, and she asked her mum, "Why is the bride wearing white?" And to keep it simple, her mother said, "White is a very happy colour. And today, for this bride, it is a very, very happy day." She nodded, and then shortly after said, "Why is the groom wearing black?" But jokes apart, weddings are very special. They're always happy occasions. I think ladies like weddings more than men because it gives them an opportunity to dress up. But that, by the way, I have to say that I enjoy a wedding. I've been to a few in my life, family, extended family, and so forth. I'm not sure how many weddings Jesus attended. I would guess quite a few. But there is only one on record, and this is the one that we've read about this morning. Now, I've never been to the Holy Land, like Gordon and others, but those that have visited Israel tell me that when the tourist guide takes them to Cana, often these scriptures that we've read this morning are read to them. When Jesus was alive, Cana would be just a small village. I believe today it has, according to Google, between 10 and 20,000 people live there. But when Jesus was alive, it would just be a small village. And everyone would know one another. And so we come to the story, and it would seem that the betrothal has taken place. This has happened in the sight of God. The couple have been united, and now the celebrations are beginning. But as the festive spirit gets underway, the guests who are there have been enjoying themselves. They're having a good time. But something is happening that they're unaware of. They have no idea that the wine is soon to run out. And as we read the story, we begin to see that there is a crisis about to break. It's not broken yet. The party is in full swing. The celebrations are going on. People are enjoying themselves. Everything looks fine. Everyone's enjoying themselves. Lots of fun. But under the surface, there was a crisis. They were running out of wine. And in the culture of Palestine, that would be a crisis. It's difficult in any gathering that we might participate in when food or drink runs out. I remember once, many years ago, going to a conference where they ran out of meat pies and sausage rolls. And us young people were told not to take any so that the older people could have them. They were embarrassed that they had run out of food. Well, you can imagine what it was like. Here in this wedding, they were about to run out of wine. The wedding would be remembered for all of the wrong things. They would talk about the wedding where the wine had run out. You can imagine the immediate family, the extended family, the friends and all of those people from the village. It would be the theme of their dinner discussion. It would be something that they would gossip about. They would talk about the wedding where the wine ran out. But someone, we don't know who, comes to Mary, the mother of Jesus, and whispers in her ear that the wine is running out. On the surface, everything seems fine, but underneath, there is about to break a crisis. And I wonder, in my mind, if perhaps why this story is recorded as it is, it's to show that Jesus can help in our lives when we experience or face a crisis. Sometimes we run out of answers. Sometimes we can even run out of hope. Sometimes we can run out of options. We've all been there. Maybe someone is there just even now as I speak. Everything on the surface looks fine. If you were to meet people in the street, they would be none the wiser. But underneath, in your life, there's a crisis. Under the surface, you are in trouble. Perhaps a relationship is floundering. Maybe money is in short supply. No one has noticed, but there is a crisis looming. Perhaps your job's not going well. Maybe there's the threat of redundancy. Maybe someone in the family is going off the rails. And life is not turning out as you hoped it might. Maybe for yourself, you are just spread too thinly. And you begin to dread each day as it comes along. We hit times when everything on the surface looks good, but underneath it's not going fine. Perhaps no one knows but you. Perhaps you've shared it only with a friend, as Mary shared with Jesus. You are burdened and you are running out. You don't know what to do or what it takes to get out of this circumstance of life. Running out. The guests knew nothing of it. They were enjoying themselves. Everything seemed fine on the surface. But underneath, there was a crisis. I've been there. I'm sure you have. Not knowing what to do. But here's the big claim of the Bible. Here's the big claim given by God himself. Jesus can come and help whatever the situation. Not only can he come and help, but he wants to. John, in his gospel, brings 7 miracles to our notice. There were many, many more. In fact, he says at the end of the gospel that Jesus did many, many miracles to show who he truly was. But all of those 7 miracles, amazing events as they were, they pointed to something. I was reading this morning how Jesus fed the thousands by using that small boy's picnic lunch. This was a signpost because it allowed him to tell the people that he was the bread of life. And it was pointing to them what he himself could offer them in the way that he was able to feed the thousands on that day. And then we have in John 9 how that Jesus gave sight to the blind man. And this is followed up by him saying, I am the light of the world. Pointing to this wonderful truth that if we put our faith and trust in him, he will be a safe guide to us along life's journey. And here in this miracle, Jesus is showing this, that even although things appear on the surface to be going well, underneath there could be a crisis. And that it's at those moments when God sometimes comes into our life and wants to speak to us. And you know, at the end of this miracle, the last verse that we read together showed that as a result of this miracle, the disciples, their faith was established. They believed and glory was given to God. Now, one of the things that I noticed when I read through these verses was that Jesus was very happy to be at the wedding. In first century Israel, weddings could go on and on. I did a little bit of research and they could last between 3 and 7 days, full of fun, full of festivity, good food, good wine. We don't know how long Jesus spent at this wedding, but we know that Jesus was there with the other guests when the wine was about to run out. Sometimes, you know, I think we think of Jesus as someone who was aloof from what was happening in the world, a kind of pious figure, a religious figure, that would never be seen at a party or a festivity. But that's not the Jesus of the Gospels. Jesus lived as a real man. He wasn't remote from what was happening all around him. He did the things that other men and women did. He joined in with their activities and with all of the cultural norms of that day. He enjoyed company. He enjoyed meeting people. He loved to share a meal with those that he was dealing with. No, Jesus wasn't a dull figure at all. He said himself, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." Jesus came into real life, and he wants to come into our lives to be involved, not in just a part of our life, but in our whole life. He was happy to be at the wedding, and the wedding was blessed by his presence that day. Remember, marriage had been God's idea. And I know that all weddings are special, but a Christian marriage in the presence of God is something sacred. And Jesus presenced himself with that young couple that day, and he, by doing so, endorsed marriage. And it was at this wedding that he performed his first miracle. It was also at this wedding that we learn that Jesus begins a new direction for life, for himself personally. Up until this point, he had stayed with his mother Mary. You remember his father Joseph and Mary. We read very little about Joseph. And one assumes that Joseph had died. And so he was in the home with his mother and his brothers and sisters. And he would care for his mother. He would have been full of kindness. He was always there for her. And here he is with her at the wedding. And so, understandably, as they're faced with this crisis, his mother turns to Jesus and she tells him they're about to run out of wine. His reply may seem on the surface to have been severe. But in this verse of scripture, we see an overlap taking place. It's between his time at home that he spent with Mary and the beginning to what we now call his public ministry. He is moving on. He is moving out. We could say a lot more, but time doesn't allow that. But back to this little crisis. Mary, the godly woman, she understood the reply that Jesus gave to her. But she bounces back and she says this to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Here is the attitude of someone who knows Jesus intimately as Mary did. She has lived all her adult life with the knowledge that Jesus had come to fulfill a mission. And this outstanding woman, as Mary was, a woman of faith, she tells the servants, "Whatever he tells you, do it." These are very wise words, and they even apply to us today. When any time Jesus tells us to do something, then we should do it. How does he present the need to us today? How do we know what Jesus wants us to do? Well, he can tell us as we pray. He speaks into our heart and into our spirit. As we read the scriptures, he can speak through his word. And he can instruct us as to what his will is for our lives. As we talk to others, to brothers and sisters, he can point out through others what his will is. Sometimes the Lord will ask us to step out of our comfort zone. Sometimes we might have made plans and he asks us to change those plans, and then he turns us right round and asks us to go in a completely different direction. Perhaps he is telling us, say, to get more involved in the church, more involved in the community, to give hospitality, to be more generous, to visit people, or simply to make ourselves available to others when they need us. But whatever he tells us to do, we should do it. And Mary said to the servants, "What Jesus tells you to do, do it." And what did Jesus say to the servants? He said, "Fill these big jars up with water." You can imagine what the servants must have been thinking. We're not running out of water. We're running out of wine. But they did what Jesus told them to do. And the water turned into wine. And Jesus said, "Go and let the master of ceremonies taste the wine." And when he did, he said it was the best wine that he had tasted. He couldn't understand why they left the best wine to the last. And so in this little story, and I need to finish, Jesus not only rescues this wedding, but he transforms it. When we let the Lord be in charge of our lives, when we take our needs to him, perhaps a crisis, or perhaps when he speaks to us and wants us to do something for him, if we allow ourselves to be part of what he wants us to do, we will also know the peace and the joy that comes by doing his will. Later, Jesus himself would say, and we remember this when we take the bread and wine, "Not my will, but yours be done." And although Jesus came into this world as the Savior of the world, and he did these wonderful miracles to show to us who he truly was, he was also the servant who came amongst us. He came himself, he said, not to be served, but to serve. But on that day, those disciples, they saw a miracle. They saw what Jesus could do, and he strengthened their faith. And if we allow Jesus to work in our lives, to transform us, to turn us around, to have more say in the things that we do day by day, if we allow Jesus to order our lives in the way that he wants to, it won't be cumbersome or difficult, but it will be a joy and something that will give us tremendous peace and blessing.